twice as fun. Now that the movie is over, Kyoji walks through town together with her in high spirits. Some part of him is already planning their next date, but he can't help but feel like that might be rushing things. You want to go see a concert next time? He eventually decides to try bringing it up. Akane immediately nods. Sure. Oh, I'm so glad you asked. I've never been to a live concert before. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I really like songs with a good vibe. You know, the kind you can dance to. Yeah, you can dance all right. Everyone dances together. Kyoji nods profoundly, jiving and headbanging is par for the course during live performances. Damn. Well, I mean, you can dance to it. I love ballads too. Do they have any songs that are real tearjerkers? Hell yeah, they do. Tearjerkers brings to mind. Oh, I'm so psyched. It's a band like Mandarin Oven, right? Kyoji very nearly falls forward. The band Akane mentioned is a hip-hop band that's been getting popular recently. Actually... I love Mandarin Oven. I've got all their albums. As he listens to Akane's enthusiastic gushing, he fearfully asks, is there any kind of music you don't like? Why are you asking? Just in case. Oh, she's not into heavy rock. Well, I guess I hate heavy rock. Well, damn. Figures. Kyoji's shoulders slump. That's what he was afraid she'd say. Not just that, but she called it heavy rock. Not heavy metal, but rock. Okay. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. At first I thought that was just part of the game, but no, she actually said it wrong. Heavy rock? It's called hard rock. But yeah, heavy. But when she called it not heavy metal and called it rock? I don't know about that. But I wonder if there are some bands that would classify as heavy rock. Like, there's hard rock, but is there heavy rock? I mean, there has to be. Well, we call it alternative metal, but it technically would be heavy rock. I mean, it's noisy. The guitars are just screeching and the drums make my ears hurt. It reminds me of what George Washington would say if he went to a metal concert. They play these loud electric fiddles, and it's pretty much what it would be. Well, I'll have you know I like heavy metal. Yeah, I do too. Been listening to it all damn day. Japanese band called Loudness. Really good. Need to go listen to them. And Galnarius came out with a new one. And they've got a song on there called Let Us Shine. That song is so fucking amazing. I heard it once and I have to listen to it like 3 more times because it's that great. I was also listening to a band called it's an older band. It's important that I mention this because it's a really freaking good act. Of course, it's gonna cause some problems, but we'll find it. Here we are, yeah. No, that's not it. There we go. And right here. Yes, a band called Running Wild. There's a song called The Iron Times. It's 10 minutes long. And it's one of the best songs I've heard in the power metal or heavy metal genre, but it makes me think of Conan swinging a sword around. It's really good. Definitely check out some of those bands like Running Wild and Galnarius. And I was also listening to Primal Fear. Primal Fear put out an EP, pretty good. They probably have a new album now. I just haven't heard it. And of course, there's Judgment from Love Bites came out. So many great Japanese metal bands, and not so Japanese, of course. But definitely lots of good heavy metal to go around. And I agree, Kyoji, I like heavy metal as well. Kyoji whispers with his eyes downcast. Akane's mouth falls open. Huh? What do you enjoy about that noise? The fire, the thunder, the passion, the elegance. There are guitar solos that will knock you down due to the amount of brilliance. Again, Siyu is one of my favorite guitarists of all time. That man has done things with a guitar that I didn't even know were fucking possible. Another recommend for that Gaunarius. She probably didn't mean anything bad, but the crude way she puts it ticks him off. Noise? What do you find in your stupid Mandarin oven, huh? Because I have no idea. All their songs sound the same. You and your damn Nickelback! No, it's all your stupid heavy rock songs that sound the same. Ah, shut up. You keep calling it heavy rock, but just so you know, it's called heavy metal. Metal! Metaro! That's stupid. What difference does it make? Well, there is a difference. Remember, Judas Priest coined the term heavy metal because, you know, in England there were all these mills, steel mills, and you hear the clanging and all day long. And that's what they went with. They wanted to create a music that represented their surroundings, being around all these steel mills and things like that. So that's when they created heavy metal. They face each other, their shoulders rising and falling as they breathe heavily. And Sabbath had something to do with it, too. Kyoji decides to give up on going to a concert with her. But just as she comes to that conclusion, Akane punches her own palm as if she just remembered something. Right, Kyoji, there's somewhere I want to drop by, can we? Huh? Sure, but where are we going? There's this place I think you'll like. What's this place? As soon as they enter the establishment, Kyoji's mouth falls open. Akane smugly puffs out her chest. They call this a heavy rock cafe. It's my first time coming in here, though. It sounds like Mega Man music. Like, yeah. Either that, or it sounds like the battle from a Final Fantasy game. For the umpteenth time, it's heavy metal. Metal! Who cares? It's hardly a difference. Oh! I'm rolling my eyes. They sit at an empty table for four in the corner. A waitress wearing a leather jacket and wristbands that are studded with rivets approaches them. Kyoji missed the place's name while he and Akane were going in, but the words printed on the menu state that this cafe is called Black Sheep's. An assortment of electrical guitars. Electric guitars, translator. Electric guitars decorates the walls. There are also covers of records and CDs on display. All of them are from metal bands, ranging from world-famous ones like Deep Magenta. Deep Purple. I was listening to them. They did the Ballad of New Orleans on their newest... it's called Turning to Crime, where they did cover songs. And it was crazy as hell to see them do the Battle of New Orleans, which is a great... It's a classic song. It's like an old folk song. To Japanese ones like X, and by X they mean X-Japan. Also, Siyu, he said that X-Japan's drummer is the one that got him interested in music. Remember, X-Japan pretty much was the big Japanese metal band. Like, they're Japan's Kiss, almost. Like, all the bands kind of look up to X-Japan. Like, they're all influenced by them. And, of course, X-Japan was influenced by the music that was coming, because they were packing items with vinyl records. So that's where the Japanese found the music. They found all these rock bands, and they're like, oh, we got to hear these American bands, because, you know, they're wanting to hear new stuff. And they got really into it. They got into the Deep Purples and really love, you know, again, Highway Star. Fucking amazing song. 7-8 minutes long. They love it. They really get down to that. You can still hear that in a lot of their music. But I could talk about Japanese metal all day and just metal all day. Shit. But we're supposed to be doing a visual novel. Kyoji looks around excitedly. The place gives him the impression that the owner is someone he can get along with. He's definitely going to become a regular here. I thought you hated metal, Akane. I do, but you like it, right? The town magazine said this place is getting pretty popular. I mean, I do gotta do her a solid, because she, like, took him to a cafe that's famous for a kind of music that she can't stand, just because he likes it. That's actually doing a pretty cool thing, like, putting up, that's doing something with your partner that you don't like that your partner enjoys, and doing it because you want to make your partner happy, which is fucking great. I mean, more couples should do that. Sometimes you gotta do things with your partner that you don't like because they like it, and you want to, you know, make them fucking happy. If they make you happy, you make them happy. It's like, well, I know, not my thing, but we can do this, you know? And you learn a lot more about your partner that way. Huh. It said some people even come over from other cities to check this place out. Akane takes the magazine out of her bag again and flaps it in Kyoji's direction. They say, the person running this store? Should be a cafe. Used to write a heavy rock column in a music magazine, and that's how this place became famous. Yeah, I know all about that. Kyoji raises an eyebrow. How many times am I gonna have to tell you that it's called heavy metal? I told you, it all sounds the same to me. And how about this? Let's assume for one... Oh, shit, Kyoji! Let's assume for one second that you gain weight all of a sudden. When Kyoji points his finger at her, Akane flinches away. What's gotten into you? Consider this. If you ate too much and gained weight, there's a world of difference between someone saying you gained weight and calling you fat, right? Both of those things mean your body weight has gone up, so it's really all the same, right? I could call you fat, you'd be fine with it, right? Hey, stop calling me fat over and over again, Kyoji, you idiot. Right, you don't like that, do you? Then never call it heavy rock again. And that's all it is! Fine, fine, I get it. I'll never say it again, and that kind of stuff stings, so don't call me fat. Did you say something? No, nothing. I don't think you've gained any weight for what it's worth. So you did hear me. Are you ready to place your orders? They completely failed to notice the waitress coming over to take their orders. Kyoji and Akane both turn red in an instant. I'll have the fire fingers. And I'll have the soul crusher. The waitress repeats their orders back to them and leaves, but Kyoji thinks he can see a smile on her face. Geez, she laughed at us because of you. If it's anyone's fault, it's yours. So forget that. What exactly did we just order? He places order without actually reading the menu properly, so he has no idea what's coming. Akane shakes her head, looking as troubled as he does. Don't know. I don't have a clue. Figures, and she took the menus away, too. Their names are pretty crazy, though. I just hope that whatever those dishes are, they're edible. I mean, this is a cafe, so they should be edible, I hope. As they wait for the orders to arrive, the two of them talk about this and that. They chat about what Akane's little brothers are doing or what Yamako is up to. Before they know it, the waitress returns with the dishes the two of them ordered in a hurry. The Five Fingers Kyoji ordered is yogurt topped with both ice cream and fruit, then covered in finger-like decorations dipped in strawberry jam. Akane's Soul Crusher is a sandwich full of super spicy mustard. Huh. The two exchange glances, then each put some of their order on the other's plate. This exchange makes it so they both get an equal portion that they can both enjoy. Huh. Oh, this is pretty good. Yeah, mine's not bad either. But why call them fire fingers? They're more like bloody fingers. Like, it's strawberry jam. Good stuff, Akane. Bloody Fingers totally sounds like some band's name. It totally does. Mmm, it's good. I think I like this place. Now, if only the music they play would be just a little less cacophonous. Oh, come on, I like cacophonous music. The more cacophonous, the better. You don't understand. Well, I was gonna say you don't understand, but he says you don't get it. The music is what makes this place good. Can't you hear these heart-rending riffs? Heart-rending riffs. I like that one. Really? What are you talking about? Akane cocks her head baffled. But hey, that movie was pretty good. Man, it was just great. Now that's what I call a movie. I guess if the designs were a little cooler, it'd be perfect. Kyoji replies while sipping on the juice Akane brought him. She frowns at him in response. Hey, that wasn't one of your monster movies, okay? No, you've got it all wrong. I don't like monsters. I like mutants. What's the difference? Akane seems to be in a good mood today because every little thing seems to make her smile. They talk about this and that for a while. Some part of him is relieved to see her smiling. But when they're like this, it's like everything is back to how things were before he moved away. No, things were simpler back then. He thought of Akane as nothing more than a friend. And then the incident happened. Kyoji, what's wrong? Nothing. His feelings must be showing from his expression because Akane peers at his face, looking at him with concerned eyes. Am I talking too much? Akane smiles uncomfortably, her expression mired with concern. You blabbering too much isn't anything new. I got used to that years ago. Hold on, Kyoji, why are you laughing? But Akane's smiling too, even as she says that. After that, Kyoji walks alone. He feels pretty good. The sky is clear, the visible stars are pretty, and a pleasant breeze blows by. He's glad Akane enjoyed it too. He'd never even considered hanging out with Akane like this before he moved away. Probably would have been weird. Back then, they would have had hardly anything to talk about. Some part of him was worried that today would prove similarly awkward. Finding out that wasn't true was such a relief. He's glad to have come back here. You look like you're having fun. He stiffens at the sound of this voice. He sees a small round object poking out of a nearby alley. Someone's head, and it's giggling. He recognizes that voice. You're Yuka, right? She doesn't step out, though. Her head alone pokes out of the alleyway, giggling and cackling at him. That's creepy. Come on out already. It pisses him off. What's with this messed up situation? Stop fooling around already. Just come on out. Kyoji stomps over to her, extending his arm with the intent of pulling her into view, but Yuka quickly pulls her head back into the alley. The moment he looks around the corner, he freezes up. There's no one there. He doesn't even hear any footsteps. The only thing he can find is a small puppet lying on the pavement. The puppet's head looks a lot like Yuka's face. Hey, you're home. Was the date fun? Huh? Yamiko, who came to greet him at the door, places her index finger on her cheek and gives him a quizzical look. What's wrong? You look glum. Did you and Yakane-chan have a fight? No. Really? Kyoji brushes past her. Yamiko looks through an apartment. Excuse me. Yamiko looks through the open apartment door, peering at the sky outside. Oh, it's dark already. You did walk Akane-chan home, right? Yup. He goes to his room and topples onto his bed, lying on his back. He's beset by the kind of exhaustion one feels after a great deal of stress, like after watching a horror movie or exiting a haunted mansion in the amusement park. The only difference is that the fear hasn't completely left his body yet. No, the terror is still there, sitting like a lump in the pit of his stomach. As long as it's there, it continues to fill his heart with a dark, swirling emotion. Hey, tell me what's wrong. Really? What happened? Yamiko approaches in concern. He considers confiding in Yamiko, but he isn't sure how to explain the emotions he feels when thinking of Yuka. After all, she's just a little girl. She's shorter, thinner, and weaker than him. She might appear in unexpected places and say weird things, but that can just be interpreted as a child's poor sense of humor. Most people would just think she's grown attached to him. Kyo-chan. He feels the mattress underneath him sink down. It seems Yamiko has taken a seat next to him. Can't you tell me? I think I can understand you better than most adults, you know. Hearing her usual tone relaxes him a bit. Yamiko really isn't like most of the adults he knows. She's more free and unrestrained. She'll hear him out, even if it's about this weird, ungrounded, and inexplicable fear. Yamiko-san, I... But just as Kyoji tries to speak, his phone's ringtone plays in his breast pocket, telling him he's received a message. Give me a sec... Ah! It's from Akane. He hurriedly opens up text. Today was fun, from Akane. I had fun today. Thanks for walking me home. My kid brothers keep asking me questions. It's kind of annoying. They're so precocious now that it's becoming too much to handle. Let's go watch a movie again sometime. The hell's wrong with me? Kyoji cracks a smile. Her message is so peaceful and run-of-the-mill it makes him feel stupid for being so frightened. Looks like you two made up. Yamiko peers at his phone from the side and smirks at him. She looks like she thinks everything's alright now, but Kyoji figures it's fine to leave it at that. He finally, truly, and honestly relaxes. There might be need to be a comma there. I don't know. That seems like too many words. Then I suppose the field trip is called off then. Yes, it's probably for the best. That's what the middle-aged teacher tells his wife of many years. His wife nods again and again and places a hand on her cheek. I guess it's to be expected, what with all these weird incidents recently. Yes, really. Just what kind of lunatic would do these terrible things? Or do those terrible things? I mean, either way it works. Anyway, thank you for dinner, dear. He brings his hands together in gratitude and retires to his study. With his plans for tomorrow's class having changed, he needs to prepare a different lesson plan. After their son moved out, there was a free room in the house that he could finally use as his own personal study. He immediately put the room to use, using it to smoke cigarettes in peace. This room is the only place in the house where he's allowed to. After having a smoke, he opens a folder, rummaging through it for past materials that might be of use. He's a veteran teacher who has spent over 30 years in this area. Due to his line of work, his posting often changed, but he feels a great deal of affinity to this land and this school. By the time his career as a teacher really took off, he had already been assigned to this school once before. That makes it the second time he's worked at this school. If one were to combine the duration of his previous tenure with his time here now, he's been employed at the school for about 10 years. Many of his alumni live in the area, and while he can't say he didn't have this share of bad students, none of them were depraved enough to stoop to such terrible acts. Whoever's behind this incident must be some kind of degenerate from outside town. Some people say that the town's insular society is a way of turning its citizens into criminals. That's nonsense. Those people don't understand anything. He has always believed that's simply impossible. This must be the doings of an outsider. The big city drives people mad. The new student transferred into class 2A last week is a good example of that. Apparently he's originally from this town, but look at him now. After growing up into an adolescent under the big city's influence, he started trouble as soon as he transferred in. All these kids who stir up trouble and try to stand out must be inspired by the big city's bad influences. This kidnapper character is most certainly not a local. Simply can't be. This thought is what helps him protect his world. With this, his world remains infallible, without a single blemish or crack. People who would do such vile things can't possibly be around him. This is all the work of the outsiders. You're stupid. Don't you think so? Another voice fills the room, making the teacher jump. Yes, I do. I do think so indeed. At first, you can't see where the voice is coming from. He looks around, but can't find anyone else in the room. As he looks around in a panic, he hears the voice again. Over here. Looky over here. Who are you? How did you get in here? But for some reason, the mysterious man lets out a rolling, high-pitched laugh in response. The laugh causes him to demand in a frenzy. What's so funny? That's philosophical. A very philosophical question. Yes, very deep, quite profound. You're stupid, but that question wasn't bad at all. The way this person speaks is off. On closer inspection, he has two sock puppets on his hands as if he's putting on some kind of weird performance. If you ask me who I am, then I might be anyone, and I might be no one. How's that? Was that answer philosophical? Yeah, that feels right. That feels oh-so-sophical. He's not going to dignify this by giving it attention. He bites his lip, disgusted. He's still confused, but at length, realization dawns on him, rather. This is a trespasser. He makes for the door, intending to have his wife call the police. Whoa there! What looks like a black curtain suddenly drops in front of him. The man who was in the corner just a moment ago now stands right in front of him. You can leave, but there's a little something I need to do first. Yes, sir, I must do indeed. There's something I simply must do. What? The man's eyes narrow in fear. Don't worry, I ain't gonna eat you. Old men don't agree with my stomach. Yes, indeed, I'm a gourmand. Yes, I am. But I'm still gonna pull a teensy-weensy little prank.